We've moved from Sparrow's Wine Shop in Ithaca to the Banffy's Restaurant here at the Cornell Hotel School. In this section, we learn how to maximize the restaurant wine experience. Many, if not most, restaurants in the U.S. screw up wine service in a variety of ways. What follows is my consumer guide on how to get restaurant staff to do what restaurant management can't or won't get it to do. We're going to cover ordering wine, pouring, wine temperature, wine by the glass, when to use ice buckets, sending wine back, bringing your own bottles, and more. As an ex-restaurateur who always had moderate wine prices, I'm appalled at the wine pricing I encounter in the U.S., especially in big cities. I was in this business for 6 years. I know how difficult the business is and how high rents can be. The presence of moderate wine prices in some of the most successful big city operations, like the Union Square Cafe in New York City, shows it can be done. What are moderate prices? Wine shops and restaurants have the same wholesale cost, say $120 for a 12-bottle case or $10 a bottle. Most wine shops mark up the wines 150% to yield a retail price of $14.99. But restaurants are all over the map. Some take a moderate approach, basically doubling wholesale to $20, $25. Others mark up 400% or more, so that $15 wine shop bottle is $40 to $45. This is exorbitant. It deters guests from ordering more wine, and it reinforces wine's unfortunate image as something elitist and inexpensive. The restaurant wine opening ritual. The guest who orders the wine first is shown the bottle to verify it is indeed what was ordered. The waiter removes the cork and shows it to the guest. Why? Actually, not much is accomplished by this ritual. Once in a while, a flawed cork can be spotted by smelling or eyeballing it. First, the person who ordered the wine has poured a small 1 to 2 ounce or 30 to 55 milliliter taste. The server awaits guest approval, then pours guest glasses 1/3 to 1/2 full, counterclockwise around the table, females first, then males, ending by refilling the host glass. The bottle should be gripped either this way or with the thumb in the punt, like so. In either case, the label should show. I find you can tell how much people have had to drink by how they hold the bottle. As they drink more, their hand travels further up the bottle, finally ending up gripping the neck. At this point, you need to strongly consider cutting yourself off. Wine glasses are set to the right and above the play setting. When several wines are served, arrange glasses in order of service from the edge of the table toward the center. Handle glassware by the stem, not the bowl. That's what it's there for. Handling it by the bowl means you end up with bits of fried chicken grease or what have you, and just doesn't look very good. Failure to handle glasses properly is a very common problem in restaurant and banquet service. Whenever I see this, it just makes me cringe, especially if they're setting down clean glasses for them. To chill or not to chill? Restaurants should ask the host if she or he wants white or sparkling wine left in an ice bucket. But left in an ice bucket, the wine is likely to get too cold. 40 or 45 degree Fahrenheit or 4 to 7 degrees Celsius bottle left on the table will warm up slightly as it's consumed, so it will be an ideal serving temperature. Red wines, however, are often served too warm. After rip-off pricing, this is my major gripe with restaurant wine service. Those bottles of wine on display in the dining room look good, but they're too warm. Asked to chill a red wine, most servers will merely place the offending bottle in the fridge for 5 minutes, which will do virtually nothing. better to chill warm bottles by briefly putting in the ice bucket for 1 to 2 minutes. In hot weather, lighter red wines should be kept over, not in the ice. What about re-pouring? Waitstaff should re-pour glasses before they're empty, but not so frequently their presence at table is interruptive, and they shouldn't pour more wine than needed. When main courses are more than half consumed, re-pouring should slow down or cease altogether. Wine by the glass offering should be plentiful, at least 5, with a variety of grapes, styles, and price points. Portions should be 5 to 6 ounces, or 140 to 170 milliliters. Smaller than that is too small, and larger is okay, but it raises a red flag, as I'll get to shortly. Wine by the glass, something American restaurants have belatedly discovered, is very popular in these times of drinking less but better. Restaurateurs have been very swift to raise glass prices to shameless levels. There's no reason why they can't be offered for 1/4 the wine list bottle price, which hopefully is reasonable. Instead, we rarely encounter glass prices less than the high single digits and up. Too often we're served something called house wines, likely to be nameless plunk, wine shopped solely on the basis of price. You're probably in the wrong restaurant when you order wine by the glass and you get 8 to 10 ounces or 220 to 280 milliliters of wine in that glass. If you're getting so much, it's probably not worth drinking. Or your wine by the glass portion fills the glass to the point where it can't be swirled. And very likely, it's not worth swirling. This leads to Abby's top 10 signs you're in the wrong restaurant. You're in the wrong restaurant when the staff leaves those fake glass pitchers of ice water on the table. You're in the wrong restaurant when they have autographed celebrity pictures on the walls. You're in the wrong restaurant when they serve flavored butter with the bread. You're in the wrong restaurant when someone walks up to your table and says, "My name is Aldo and I'm your waiter tonight." You're in the wrong restaurant when the restaurant has a gift shop. You're in the wrong restaurant when the menu is written in phony calligraphy, or the restaurant serves veal Oscar, or there's grated cheese in a jar on the table. You're in the wrong restaurant if it's named Victor's, although I can't explain this. And last but not least, you're in the wrong restaurant when there's a sign outside that says "Buses Welcome." Wine lists should have BIN numbers so guests don't have to struggle with difficult pronunciations. This Banffy's wine list here has BIN numbers. Wine lists should avoid the common practice of incomplete listings. Even at prestigious operations, many wine lists fail to list vintages, producers, etc., and are replete with misspellings. Another pet peeve, restaurants shouldn't embalm those bottles in cloth. Some pretentious places do this. What are they hiding? In the Nixon White House years, our wine-loving president had bottles thus covered up so his guests wouldn't know they were being served Chilean wine while our leader was drinking his beloved Chateau Margaux. When is it okay to send wine back? Customers, especially young men attempting to impress on first dates, are notorious within the trade for returning perfectly good wines. But overall, far fewer wines are returned than should be, since most guests aren't confident enough to return wines they feel are flawed. The good, if infrequently occurring, reasons to return bottles are corked, oxidized, and flawed wines. Most likely is an encounter with a corked or corky bottle. This happens when bacterially infected corks spoil the wine, giving wine musty or moldy flavors. And you can't tell anything by looking at the cork in this instance, or even smelling it. Often cork is blamed for a similar problem caused by dirty barrels. The same bacteria afflict barrels as corks. Corkiness affects wines to different degrees, from just a whiff to overwhelming. It's widely believed this problem afflicts 3 to 5% of genuine cork-finished wines. It causes wines to taste nasty and dirty, but it's harmless. Next most frequent are oxidized wines, usually white, that taste like a dull sherry and lack freshness. Flaws due to winemaking are now rare due to the dramatic improvement in winemaking worldwide the last 20 years. The very occasional old bottle will be too old, but usually restaurants that offer mature bottles let customers know in advance. Their policy is, let the buyer beware. In other words, if you bought it, you get to drink it and pay for it. If you must send a wine back, the restaurant should swiftly accommodate such guest requests, right or wrong. And guests should avoid reordering the same wine, just in case there was nothing wrong with it in the first place. How much wine to drink? All of us are different. Only you know the answer to that question. On average, most of us can handle a half bottle per person in most instances. One bottle may not be excessive when spread over several hours with lots of food. When I make a point of drinking lots of water and eating lots of starches like bread, I can drink quite a bit and feel fine the next day. The Italians have a saying, it's not that you drank too much, it's that you didn't eat enough. In general, it's time to stop drinking before you get to the point where you spill as much wine on yourself as you're drinking. Restaurants don't like to hear this, but my advice is to bring wine into the restaurant whenever possible. The idea is not to beat the restaurant out of its beverage profit, so I don't bring wines the restaurant is already likely to have on its list. I bring unusual wines, especially older wines. I also make a point of ordering a bottle from their wine list, and I offer a glass of what I've brought to the manager or chef or wait person, which often results in waiving of the corkage charge, or what the restaurant charges guests to serve wines brought in. Corkage charges tend to be $5 to $15 per bottle. A last point, I find most restaurant awards, including those for wine lists, distinctly unhelpful. I personally consulted for a restaurant that mailed in fictitious lists and received awards. Rarely are restaurants visited by inspectors from the award givers. In too many cases, as awards pile up and reputations grow, service, quality, and value fall. Bigger is not better when it comes to wine lists. Long wine lists require more dollars invested in inventory, resulting in higher prices. I'll take smaller, well-chosen lists with fair prices every time. Restaurants have a tough go of it. They traditionally soak guests on beverage to make up for thin margins on food. But wine becomes a crutch, reinforcing careless management of food and labor. The result is often guest-unfriendly wine lists, exorbitant pricing, and mediocre wine service. So good luck in the restaurant. You're going to need it.